Some call them outlaws. Some call them heroes. But these determined men and women think of themselves only as ordinary Joes. And this is their story.
Everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, talking about G.I. Joe Renegades once again. This is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stecanis.
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I paused because I assumed someone was going to do something in between.
We zig when we're supposed to zag. Zig, always.
We are starting well behind schedule, so Chan is in no nonsense mode tonight.
We have all covered which Spice Girl we are, right? Gina, obviously. Oh. Posh Spice.
Ew, I want to be Sporty Spice.
You just said you were Posh Spice.
I picked the first one that popped into my head.
Yeah,
you know, well, Chan wants to be Sporty Spice. Let's just be real here.
Chan is angry Spice.
Thank you.
I am not Sporty Spice, much as I would love to be.
Oh, you're Angry Spice?
I think we all realize that Ray is Baby Spice.
I was going to say Baby Spice, although he likes to think he's Ginger Spice because when he had hair, it was red.
I was a great Ginger Spice back in the day.
He thinks he's a Ginger Spice only because he also loves Maggie Thatcher and
is this our next group Halloween costume if we hit 5,000 reviews?
Oh boy, if we had 5,000 reviews, that would be a lot of reviews.
What do we
I
have,
don't like, know till the end of time now? We'll get 5,000 reviews.
Look, if we get 5,000, we'll definitely go as the Spice Girls for Halloween. So
guaranteed. I'll guarantee it right now. If we get to 500 reviews, we'll go as the Spice Girls for Halloween. Let me start there.
How many reviews do we have?
Like 300?
That's actually pretty good.
It's not terrible, but like,
we've been on the air for 11.
I just don't think it's going to happen. How many decades we got left?
I mean, we've been on the air for 11 years, so.
How's it keeping longer and longer? It has not been 11 years yet.
Time is speeding up, Chan.
What do we start? 2016?
I believe 2015, July 4th.
2015? Yes. Okay. So we're close.
That's almost 11 years, Chan.
Oh, God, no. What? No. Oh, I don't like that at all.
And there's going to be still more G.I. Joe yet to come. And then we get to go back and do the original series all over again.
We're done.
I'm excited for that. Gina, are you excited for that?
I mean, if we keep starting later, you're going to be down one host. So well, no, I'm not ready for that.
We'll have Egon replace you because Lord knows he wants to be up this late.
Well,
isn't
that's
he
the truth, right?
To put his own ass to bed by now.
We're working on it.
I mean, why don't you just make his bedtime like 10:30?
Have you tried getting a? I don't know if you've had a child or had to deal with a child, Raymond. But getting it up in the morning is honestly worse than thumb screws.
See, I had the opposite. I had the opposite suggestion. Why don't you make his bedtime 6 p.m.?
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Chad. My kid goes to bed at 7:30 every single night and wakes up between 6 and 6:30 on her own and wakes me up.
That sounds wonderful.
I mean, why don't you just do that?
That's what I want to know.
Because
I pulled it off, Chan. How hard could it be?
We'll talk later, Mr. Entitlement. We'll talk
also,
later.
Also, let's be real. This is because your wife is organized and a teacher and knows what she's doing and knows the importance of a routine and a schedule. So I seriously doubt it's on you.
So some people would try to take, full credit for the situation, given what you just said. But I will say right now, I will plead the fifth.
Chan, just have Ray's wife come over and put Egon to bed for a week. He'll be on a schedule in no time.
Okay, well, let's see how that works.
Seems like I'm sure very well.
She's not doing anything important and will have all the time in the world to.
Well, if Luna goes to bed at 7:30, she could drive over to your house. Egon's in bed by 8.
You know what?
I see no flaws in this logic.
Okay, yeah. Ray, could you go ask your wife to do this, please?
Oh, no. No chance at all, Dan. You need to make that ask.
Something that you're going to have to do. I think that's...
No, I don't think I will, to quote Captain America.
Have you guys read Dungeon Crawler Carl yet?
No, I keep getting it recommended to me, though, but then it's reading.
Currently on...
I mean, you could listen to it on audiobook.
The audiobook...
I've been told that, too.
Audiobooks are actually surprisingly good. Point where I was like, you know what? I could do this. This is the thing that I do with my kid anyway. I'm like,
specifically for Dungeon Crawler Carl or audiobooks in general?
Audiobooks in general, but because I'm listening to it to Jeff Hayes, he's really good. I'm like, I could do that. Then I saw a video of him. He was like getting a tattoo of like Dungeon Crawler Carl on his butt. And I'm like, oh my God, this dude is me 15 years ago.
I mean, seriously can't believe you guys haven't read it. It's like a better Ready Player One.
I just told you that I am on book 6 now. What? How many have you read? Oh,
I missed it.
Ugh.
I'm on book 0.
I hated Ready Player One, and this actually is pretty good.
That's what I'm saying. It's a good Ready Player One.
I was underwhelmed by Ready Player One, but I didn't hate it per se.
You're
going to
love
enough-
Dungeon Crawler Carl. There's a sassy cat in it.
Do like sassy cats. That was helpful in Sailor Moon as well.
It did also, that's how I found out that there's a whole genre of this lit RPG, the idea of it is what made me not want to read it in the first place. I think it is really well executed. I will not be reading any other books in the genre because I...
Yeah, you shouldn't. I mean, this one's being made into a show, so this is the one. Yeah.
Wow. They're really going to have to tone some shit down.
I know. I actually didn't realize it was so violent.
It's super violent.
And then like 3 pages in, I was like, whoa, what? What's happening? Ray, you'll love it. Just get it on audiobook. Do you have a library card? Download the Libby app and then...
Actually, no. You can only get the first one. And it's like, it's got a really long wait time.
Really? I ended up...
Here's the thing. No. This is irrelevant. This is irrelevant. We can discuss it later. You should get the book or get the audiobook. They're both fantastic. And let's move on. We'll take the discussion offline.
To be fair, I don't have the Libby app, but I'm told that I have to be in the shit Libby app.
What?
It's an attempt at a joke about shit Libby.
A good one. Pretty solid.
I'm also not surprised that you're watching
an episode of G.I. Joe Renegades today, and it's episode 5 of the series, and it's called The Package. Sadly, had nothing to do with Gene Hackman.
But it definitely does have is source material that it is drawing from, exceedingly so, as in like almost like a direct rip. And I was like, and if it weren't for the fact that we had already had the Zartan episode, I was like, okay, as soon as it started happening, I was like, okay, I know what they're doing here. And I was okay with it. It was very fun.
Another
really
banger of an episode.
This episode a lot.
Indeed.
Another banger? Yeah.
You did like it? I thought it was a banger of an episode.
I did. Yeah, I thought this was a real banger. I'm like about halfway through and I'm like, yeah, they're getting it right again.
I mean, they once again, every way that they introduce a new old classic character, I am on board with.
They really twisted this one, too. I mean, look, the episode opens up with Flint and Lady J catching up to the A-team van that our heroes are in, and they have to pull into, like, a giant parking lot of essentially a Walmart, but it's the SSS Mart, which I think is clever for, like, multiple reasons. It's a Cobra-themed Walmart.
It's S Market, not S Mart. I know what you're thinking, Ray. You're thinking, where's Bruce Campbell? I love S Mart. It is
I would have liked that, yes.
I mean, I
did
liked
like
it
the SSS.
I liked it because it's both slightly evil, because anything with more than one S is sure. making me suspicious, but also it's like the sound a snake makes.
Making you suspicious?
Exactly.
But seriously, where was Bruce Campbell? I think he could have helped out a lot in this episode.
Weirdly, it's the two S's that are the most evil, and then once it gets to three, it's actually less evil.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. I feel like one S is the least evil, two is the most evil, three is somewhere in between the two.
Indeed. There are a couple things that bothered me this episode, but not in a like this is a bad kind of way, just sort of like a real cringe kind of way. And some of it is just the year that it was made, for example.
I'm trying to turn on the truck's cloaking technology. I read on the internet that it can turn invisible.
I read on the internet.
Read it on the internet. Must be real.
I still say that.
When people first started saying I read on the internet, it was pretty cool. It was like, wow, the internet is disseminating information democratically, and it is a boon to humanity. And then after a few years, it became like, oh, you read it on the internet at dumbshitmofo.nerd.net. And
oh, shit,
now
that was my old website.
It's metastasized into I did my own research on the internet. So
no, Chan, when I say I read on the internet, I mean the only social media platform that I'm still on, Truth Social.
Oh, okay. No. You're fine. You're fine. It's the same sort of thing. One S, good. Two S, bad. Three S. It's somewhere in between. Somewhere in between. Truth Social's somewhere in between.
Also, this was like this was
ninth circle of hell.
This was firmly post-internet era. Like this was not like, oh, it's 1998 and people are saying I read on the internet. This was like deep in the trenches of the internet. So it's still, it's like, it's cool again. It came around again.
Yeah, social media was definitely an entrenched thing at this point.
Yes. The way Tunnel Rat was like, you read it on the internet? We definitely turned a corner there.
Well, so then it's him calling out that she's being an old fogey.
And reading when she should have just been jacked into the net with a data port.
With Sandra Bullock, yeah.
In her neck, yeah.
So G.I. Joe has the cloaking technology from the internet. And it turns out instead of making the car, their Cobra truck, invisible, it just like changes the veneer of it to appear like it belongs to the SSS Mart. So they park in the loading zone and just hang out.
Does it very just cool. But like I mean listen, if you've got a if it looked like a semi truck that was hauling produce or something like that, great, useful. If it looks like a military vehicle that is solely used by the S Corp, then it's gonna stick out.
But this is much more useful than cloaking technology, because my question with cloaking technology is always like, man, someone's going to walk in. Like, what if someone walks into that thing? Then they're going to be like, oh, shit, I just walked into an invisible car. This is much more practical.
Yep.
I mean, the weird thing is that it's stuck looking like a 1960s police box. But other than that, like, yeah, it's pretty useful.
Well, to be fair, they also have a person on the inside because Lady J just lets them through the checkpoint.
It was poorly
fortuitous.
Strategized that they're just like, you know what? Let's get into the line. Scarlett, you figure it out. And in the meantime, we'll just stand here right in front of Flint and just hope he can make eye contact with Lady J.
It works.
I mean, it did work. Before that could happen, as they were at the loading zone, a Cobra SSS Mart employee hands them a package and says, hey, y'all, deliver this. And I thought they'd be a little bit more organized that than just handing packages to random trucks. I don't really, it's a little silly, but ended up getting a package. Yes.
If I need to like send something off, I don't give a crap who it goes to. I'm just like, someone, it'll get there somehow. It's a lazy person's business, man.
You'd probably want to be sure that a bomb went to the specific place you're looking for.
Just saying.
Nah, they don't care.
This
is a paper pusher. He's a paper pusher. He just wants that out of his hands so he can have plausible deniability and be like, I gave it to someone.
To be fair, he is like the Walmart manager. So I can absolutely appreciate that he is underpaid, does not care, does not know what's in the package, just wants it out to be somebody else's problem. I get that.
Number two,
it is a bomb.
The second thing, and it might be the only other thing, but
Kibbe is the leading anti-Cobra blogger.
Oh, God. A blogger? This is who we're going to... This is their main target. This is like anytime someone in a movie or television show is a podcaster. I cannot tell you how much it makes me cringe because it's never good. Never, ever, ever good.
I mean, to be fair, if it was 10 years later, they'd be a vlogger, you know? So, I mean, you know.
That is also bad. That is also very bad. There's no good part of this.
And then they'd be a Twitch streamer.
And then they would be a YouTuber who has a nerd-oriented channel, like a new music fashionistas.
Chen, you literally just described not only the two other people on this show who aren't you, but also... God. Every other person you know.
I need one of those real life memes of the guy and the point flying over his head.
Wait a second. So the package is supposed to be delivered to this famed anti-Cobra blogger that Scarlett absolutely not only knows, but was catfishing apparently.
Yeah. I couldn't tell if she was like doing it because, you know, like she was looking for information, but she was like a fan. She's like, you know what? I love your GIFs, what you're doing there with your web page, with the music that plays automatically. Just fantastic web design.
Yeah, that was wild because her name on the blog as a commenter, I guess, was what, Snakebite 33 or something like that?
No.
Snakebait.
Snakebait 23.
Snakebait 23.
Oof. The only thing that could have been worse is if it were like Snake Bite 15 or 16. So she was like, in addition to being into his conspiracy theories, she was also underage.
It might as well have been I'm a Fed. Tunnel Rat decides to try to open the package to see what's inside. And Duke very astutely.
No, not Tunnel Rat. Scarlett. What the hell is that about?
Yeah, Scarlett's smarter than that usually. You know what? In my brain, I made it Tunnel Rat because there was no way Scarlett would do that.
You would think. And that is, yeah, I will say.
I get it. I like mail too. Like, listen, someone just sent to our office a bunch of handmade pot goods. And I was like, and there's boxes of them.
Oh, wow.
I went into the office and I was like, ooh, treats. And everyone was like, no, Gina, like someone... those are like hand baked by someone. Also, they contain weed. And I was like,
you're like, oh, good, treats.
But I really want treats.
It's Hollywood buffet, everybody.
And I'm not going to lie. I thought about it for a good long while. Like, I was like, he probably didn't poison them. Like, he's admitting there's weed in them. Why would he put weed and poison in them?
Why would you waste that money?
Exactly.
I mean, to be fair, you can't trust random baked goods that just show up in the mail.
But this is what I'm saying. I would be like Scarlett. I would be like, ooh, mail.
Here's the thing.
It's ticking. I still want to open it, though.
No. Look, if the administration sends me a bomb in the mail, because eventually I feel like I'm enough of a rabble rouser. I feel like I'm fighting the power enough. I am a bastion and a flagship for all recalcitrant Americans to gather around against this friggin' Nazi regime. I could see them sending me a bomb. I would not be.
Someone's
by that.
Really, really overstating their importance in the world, Jan.
Listen, yeah, wow. The tweets that I have put out there are scathing.
You have not been on any social media of import in at least a year.
I think them up in my head, and they're on my notepad.
Uh-huh,
and
uh-huh.
someday, I'm going to bring this whole filthy empire down.
Uh-huh.
Point being, if they sent me a bomb, I'd be like, nah, I ain't open that shit. If they sent me poison brownies, I would open it up and go, ooh, brownies. I would be dead. I'm pretty sure that is the case for both of you as well.
Yeah.
I don't eat sweet treats, Jan.
Is that the case?
I generally try not to. I'd be more likely to open the bomb because I thought it was a game I kickstarted.
Oh, no, that's a solid one. Okay, so I guess we know how we're all going to die.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, they diffuse it with Roadblock's bubble gum. I don't know how any of this works. He sticks it to a piece of the bomb, then opens the box and presses a button on top and it turns off.
Okay.
I don't know bombs well enough to know if that's complete bullshit or if that's something that's theoretically possible.
Again, it's a thing that shows up in movies. I think it's pretty unlikely to function that way in the real world. But also, sending people a huge-ass bomb through the mail like that is not terribly realistic either. So, whatevs.
Yeah. Oh, did you see the manager's name was Kaczynski, oddly enough?
Didn't notice that.
No, I made that up. But, I mean, it would be a great touch if they would have put it in the episode.
It probably would have been nixed by somebody or another.
You would think. Look, how do we feel about the introduction of Major Blood?
At first, my first thought was like, what the fuck? Why is he the Australian when we just had Zartan with some crazy-ass Western accent? And then as soon as I saw the Mad Max over there, I was like, all right, that's pretty great. Okay, I'm on board now.
Yeah, it's weird because he's driving basically the Thunder Machine, which is a Dreadnought vehicle. He goes from being this British guy to I don't know if he was always Australian. I'm going to have to look this up.
He's not. He had a Cockney accent back in the day.
Yeah, I thought he did too, but now I'm like, of course, second guessing myself. No, here's the deal. In his original card, he was from Sydney, Australia.
What? Was that supposed to be an Australian?
He was always Australian. Somebody's really mad at me right now for not remembering that.
That is insane.
I really thought he was British all this time. I didn't do a good job paying attention to the file cards.
I mean, yeah, here's the thing. Like, the file cards are what they are. What we know is what Sunbow presented us. And that was absolutely not an Australian Major Blood.
Well, that's fair. I mean, look, his file card says Blood worked. Our Blood received initial military training in the Australian Special Air Force, Air Service. Oh my God, I can't read today. Later joined the French Foreign Legion. A lot of Cobras did that. He worked as a military advisor in a number of countries, da 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 da. Major, I like his little thing here. Major Blood writes poetry badly. When you're feeling low and woozy, slap a fresh clip into your Uzi, assume the proper firing stance, and make the suckers jump and dance. That's from the Attica Gazette.
I don't hate that. It's not the worst thing I've ever heard in my
honestly,
life.
Honestly, like, the Vogons write worse poetry. I'll say that.
No.
Anyway, yeah, here's the deal. We're wrong. Yeah, they did present us a British Major Blood, though. I'm gonna claim the fifth on that as well. I'm going to do that a lot today. But he drives the Thunder Machine, which is kind of weird. But it's a badass vehicle, so I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Uh-huh. I mean, I was amazed that we got like two intros in one episode, although I guess that sort of is what they've been doing.
Well, you're going to get, near as I can tell the formula here, I mean, they're going to run out of Cobras, I assume, at some point, but there are so many Joes in 26 episodes. You could introduce a new Joe every episode and have 100 left by the end.
Yeah, that's
true. I would think. I don't know. I just don't know that there's 26 Cobras that you can. I mean, maybe there are. I don't know. We're going to see. But like Major Blood's fantastic. They go back to the blogger's place and he has a scanner. This is a big plot point. He used to work at SSS Smart. He got accused of stealing a scanner.
Can we please just call it Smart from now on?
SSS Smart.
Hess Smart.
Smart. Can we do that?
That's what I said. That is literally what I said.
But it's not smart. It's
that
smart.
Is the thing that I.
If you proved me wrong earlier, so now you have to live in it. Smark it. They do threaten him a lot, though, this poor blogger. But he got fired from Smark it because they accused him of stealing a scanner. And there's a funny bit where they go, well, what happened to the scanner? He goes, oh, I have it right here. And he claims he'd stole it after the fact because they accused him. I don't think that's accurate.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
It's a strange shift, isn't it? The parent who raised you needs some help, and you want to be there. With Care.com, you don't have to do it alone. Whether you're clear on the kind of care your aging loved one needs or still figuring it out, we've got support. Find background-checked in-home senior caregivers for anything from companionship to dementia care. Or browse senior living communities, read reviews, even schedule a tour. Plus, access to safety checks to help with your peace of mind. Still not sure what's best? Our senior care advisors, who are all master's level social workers, can help you build a plan. For a limited time, use the code LISTEN20 for 20% off your initial care.com subscription. That's LISTEN20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at WeightWatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
From the depths of Earth comes the barbaric and humanoid tendril, devastating everything in his path.
After that overgrown octopus!
Humanoids! Humanoids!
The evil that lies within us!
Help me, Earth! Grab my line! Where's Krennoch? There he is! Nasty, nasty creatures!
Tendril will crush you!
Tendril and other figures sold separately from Hasbro. Back to G.I. Joe.
I just want to take a quick sidebar because, first off, I was 95% sure, but not 100% sure that this wasn't voiced by John Oliver.
Interesting.
Looked it up, and it's a guy named Greg Ellis, who is, in fact, British. He's from Lancashire. He mastered the Rubik's Cube at 12, held the world record for Pac-Man at 13, had a number one single on the pop charts at 15, left home at 17. I haven't even looked to see how much other voice work he's done, but if the only thing he ever did in voice acting was the specific role, because they're like, oh my God, this dude is Alvin Kibbe the Coyote. I would totally buy that.
You know, his British accent did seem authentic enough to me that I didn't know that the actor was British, but like I was ready to say pretty good job with the British accent, but I guess obvious.
I mean, I like to think that he was like a PA that was like walking by the set and they were like, hey kid, can you do a British accent? And he was like, I don't know. Can I? I don't know. Can I? And then he was like, nailed it. You got the job, kid.
Let's go.
He was, I don't know how old he would have been. I have to find like his actual age. But one of his earliest roles was in Titanic. So,
Wow.
You're looking for this dude in that.
He was the kid trying to get smuggled on the lifeboat when that guy was in disguise.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It'd be awesome if that was true. Look, so Major Blood is his car is a Fast and Furious car because it has that Nas
God deal with it. Damn it.
And I loved that.
It is not a Fast and Furious car. It is a Mad Max car.
No, not
it is specifically Mad Max. There are multiple references to Mad Max and the Road Warrior in this film. In this episode,
I didn't hear the Legion of Doom Hawk and Animal reference a single time. What do you
Australian
even
Australian accent?
It's obviously a Fast and Furious ref, and I loved it. I loved it for being that. That made me a lot of joy. As much joy as seeing cat butts on Chan's camera.
Well, that's what the Patreon's for. If Ray would ever post anything on Patreon, ever.
I've been posting more on Patreon. What do you even mean?
What are you posting, feet pics?
No, normally like all the pictures that we share on our private channel. I just post all of those so people know what we're talking about, because you two won't stop talking about pictures in this famed visual media podcasting.
I mean, according to, I want to say Netflix, podcasts are visual now.
They kind of all are on YouTube. And if you pay enough, you'll get a lot of listeners.
I don't need to see people.
I don't want to see people. When I found out, like, all the radio people I listened to for like decades growing up, and I found out what they all looked like, I was horrified.
Yeah, I'm happy not knowing what people on my NPR podcasts look like. I'm listening on my phone. I'm not like just sitting in front of my computer.
Can I tell you, once I found out what the people on radio actually look like, I found this out by actually starting to work in radio. I was like, oh, I found my home.
Yeah.
This is where I belong among the other troglodytes and grotesque subterranean creatures who have at least decent radio voices. And then, of course, the entire industry crumbled around me. And here I am now doing a fucking podcast.
Podcast.
Sounds like someone made bad life choices.
Yep.
No, yeah.
You got to take the L on that one. So they're chasing after him using the obviously Fast and Furious car and shooting missiles. It's delightful. They do a sequence where he gets too close to the vehicle, so they themselves have to find it out. And I do like the fact that this the coyote, the blogger, knows all about the Cobra vans and how to operate them. So for the first four episodes of this show, the Joe team has been basically flying blind, driving like Knight Rider, but never accessing the Knight Rider powers. And I thought that was really fun. The way he's like, oh, you don't know? You just press these two buttons and then like shit happens and a turret pops out and stuff. And it's like, oh man, that's really cool. I like that. I like that reveal.
What would you guys do if you had a car that could like blend in anywhere? I feel like I'd maybe go to
anywhere.
I'd go to like Disneyland and like use like the back entrance and then get free entry to like Disneyland by pretending that I was their beignet dealer or something.
Okay. I was going to say one of us has driven a Camry before.
It has been said on numerous internet forums that I've been a part of that Gina loves nothing more than using the rear entrance. I keep trying to correct them and say that no, she has this elaborate plan about getting into Disneyland, and yet for some reasons, all the internet weirdos aren't having it.
Listen, everyone knows if you want to go in the front, you got to pay, but the back is free.
I don't know what to make
of any of this.
Here's a legitimate line that made me laugh, and it's really all in the delivery.
Activating the supercharger.
We have a supercharger?
That's
a good bit.
There's another thing too that was like wait a minute, why were we using the shield all along? It's just like
I didn't know they had it.
Real funny. And to your point, yeah, like they've been driving around all this time, had no idea how to use any of this stuff. It's pretty funny.
Well, they kind of stole it, so it makes sense that they haven't. I mean, I've had my phone for like 10 years. I still don't know what all this shit does.
Yeah, what's this fitness app? I have no clue.
You fitness in your mouth?
Oh.
The phone?
My phone's too big for that, Chan. What do you mean? So we have a rooftop van in the desert fight scene between Major Blood and Snake Eyes that's quite honestly pretty badass.
It's okay.
Major Blood hangs with his own and would defeat Snake Eyes 1v1. Again, Snake Eyes is mortal and vulnerable in this episode, but Roadblock, he spins the turret around and knocks him off the van through a sign.
I mean, Snake Eyes is getting his ass handed to him a lot in this show. He usually is the worst for wear out of everyone.
Yeah, it seems like Snake Eyes loses not once, but twice this episode to Major Blood. Seems to me like Snake Eyes isn't really all he's cracked up to be in terms of hand-to-hand combat.
I see. Boy, it'd
certainly
here,
be
Robert
a shame Clark. If someone used that information against you.
For those who don't know what Robert Clark Chan is talking about right now, Robert Clark Chan has agreed to do a future episode of the Who Would Win Masters show, and I will be taking Snake Eyes in that battle to hopefully triumph against his anime character, and I'm hoping for a great battle. It took me a sec to pick up what you were putting down, but oh, I'm picking it up now. We will not be doing this version of Snake Eyes. How dare you? How dare you, sir? Look, so they end up deciding they're going to take, they shake Major Blood, and they are going to go back to the Smarket so that the coyote can plug in the scanner, because they can't crack it. They can't get the info off of it. It just doesn't work. If it can't be, if it can be broke, the coyote will be the one to break it. Remember that line for later.
Honestly, and like, dude's like, he stole a mouse from the computer store. He's like, I can't figure out why there's no information on the mouse. I don't know, bro. Yeah. Maybe you need to plug it in to something to make it work.
Yeah. Allegedly, the scanner has scanned a ton of packages from the factory, and that scanning information is still on its hard drive. I guess.
Yeah. No, UPC scanners usually have big old hard drives on them.
That's how it works. They're not just like, you know, a mouse. Don't worry about that. Anyway, they break into the Smarket. They plug in the scanner, and lo and behold, they find out that everything around them are just like boxes of arms, of weapons. They're illegal smuggling of weapons. You know how else they could have found out that information, Chan?
Opening a fucking box.
Open any some of the goddamn boxes.
They're in there. Why not just open a box?
I mean, you are literally surrounded by weapon tech. There are like six of you. Open some boxes. I didn't much care for that plot point.
It's not even like the boxes are labeled like canned peas or anything like that. They're just like blank fucking wooden crates. I don't know, man.
Absolutely outrageous. Yeah, they use the scanner. They download all of the items, which then allows them to go around and find out, oh, there's weapons everywhere. We're going to scan the boxes. Oh, look, weapons in that box. I don't know, man. It's fine as a MacGuffin, I guess. This is the part that kind of lost me a little bit, but the Major Blood stuff I found so delightful Major Blood shows up in the warehouse.
Yeah, here's the thing.
A bunch of those mutant monsters.
Like, even with this, like, I would call it a plot hole in a lesser work.
Sure.
But that's just the thing, is that it doesn't fucking matter if you're a TV show, movie, book, whatever, has plot holes. If it's entertaining enough, we don't give a shit. And you know what? They do so much other great stuff in this G.I. Joe Renegades that I'm like, yeah, sure, man. Try and fucking download government secrets onto a UPC scanner. Great. Yeah, don't even bother to look at all these giant suspicious boxes hanging around the Cobra base. That's fine, man. We're getting to the good stuff. It's fine.
And even when Major Blood shows up, and he shows up at the factory, and they're like, oh, no, it's Major Blood. In my head, I'm just like, guys, there's only one of him, and there's like six of you.
100%. Yeah.
And I was like, this really isn't that big a deal if you really break it down. And then he blows out previously laid explosives on many of the boxes to reveal those mutant blue monsters from the pilot. And now I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to be making more sense now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Gina, what do you make of the Blue Monsters? Are you excited to see them back?
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious how they're going to eventually defeat them, because like, so far it's a lot of like, oh, I'm going to cut you in half with a sword and then you're going to sploosh into two different spots and then into, and then you're going to reform. At some point there's got to be a reckoning, right? Like at some point they've got to come across a bunch of them and be like, ah, oh, shit, we're dead if we don't figure out how to like T2 them.
Can I just say that I like the Snake Eyes cutting them in half is the least effective method, and they've shown it time and time again, but they still do it. Like,
I mean, it buys it them a couple more seconds. Effective. It buys them a few seconds.
Like,
it
I'll buy a grenade blowing them up, and then it takes them a while to get back together or whatnot. And even like a bullet, you know, just like blows off huge, you know, chunks of them, and that might slow them down for a little bit. But like a sword, given what we're told these things are, like the sword would just go through them. And then they're like, okay. And they keep moving because they're made of goo.
Yeah. We know that electricity works. So if like, get a taser.
Yeah. But like, that's what I'm saying. They haven't thought, they haven't found like a good permanent solution. So they've got to just do what they can. And sometimes that's just a slashing.
I mean, I just think that this should be one of those places where Snake Eyes is not as effective, or he's like, obviously these knives aren't working, and he brings something else. Maybe he just gets a fucking snow shovel and finds out that that is enough to like, you know, like batter their bodies.
You can't carry a whole other weapon around just for the odd encounters with these things.
Gina, he is in the back of a goddamn Walmart. You think that there's going to be things that he could use there?
He's in a minute later,
we don't open boxes.
Minutes later, we do exactly that. We go full fucking Home Alone.
He's not proficient in shovel.
How dare you say that about Snake Eyes? He is proficient in all NATO and Warsaw small pack, NATO and Warsaw pack small arms, and also in any snow moving tool. That's all I got.
No, that's fair. There were two things I loved about this scene. One, all of these like synthoid blue monsters come out. They get shot from behind by Tunnel Rat and Roadblock. So they just reach behind their backs like John McClane and pull out giant rifles. And that just made me laugh because they're pulling them out of literally nowhere. And it brought me a lot of joy. And then Snake Eyes, realizing the sword wasn't working, pulls out a different bladed ninja weapon. I don't even know what that thing's called. It's got three prongs. It's like a giant, like fork thing. And he jumps over them and just goes after Major Blood. He's like, well, if my sword's not going to work on these blue things, it will work on Major Blood. The problem is, after walloping Major Blood into a bunch of boxes, Major Blood pulls out a grenade launcher and Fs up Snake Eyes. Like, tears up his costume, blows a piece of his helmet off. This poop is crazy.
Right.
Major Blood getting over.
Yeah, and Snake Eyes, very much not.
I'll just stop at you.
Real weak.
I mean, this was the last episode the Dirty Dozen episode?
That was the Zartan Western episode, yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's two episodes in a row. I mean, he got jacked up in that episode. He got chained up. He got his mask taken off. It's two episodes in a row.
Wasn't that a World War II movie?
Huh?
Isn't that the Dirty Dozen, the World War II movie about escaping from the prison?
You're thinking of the Magnificent Seven, Gina.
That's what I said. The Dirty Seven.
That is definitely what Gina said.
Like, wait a minute. I know the Dirty Dozen. That's a great movie.
Was one point here, one more thing that makes me cringe, and this is, I mean, I don't know if it's a personal thing, maybe it's because of, you know, how I came up in the world, but anytime I hear this line in a movie,
then we'll have to improvise,
I'm like, Jesus Christ, man, here we go with the short form.
All right, guys, give me a place that fits on this stage.
Surprisingly, they did not do any improvisation here. They just did some bullshit. Also, how big is this fucking store that they had, I don't know, like 2 hours to improvise building weapons out of shit. And the synthoids just like waiting, just let them do their thing.
It is crazy that they couldn't find them in this, you know, Costco sized Walmart. They get a what is it, like a baseball pitch machine and put like grenades in it. And they Duke sets like an arrow on fire and shoots it. There's a goddamn manhole somehow in the middle of the Walmart. There's weird things happening in the show, but I'm fine with it. I think they took
some SodaStream canisters and blew them up. You know, that's just real deadly, you know, in addition to making delicious drinks.
I mean, that's true. You don't want to be doing that. And so in the middle of, oh, I didn't even mention Duke smashed Major Blood and two synthoids with a forklift and slammed them into the wall. And my first thought is like, oh my God, they killed Major Blood.
He looks pretty rough by the end of this.
He gets his ass kicked by the end of it, but like that should kill you. Quite frankly, he's doing too well after that. Remember that scene in the new Spider-Man when Aunt May, when she gets slammed into by the Goblin glider? I remember seeing that in theaters and I turned and I was just like, oh, she dead. You can't get hit that hard and be a normal person and not be dead.
But she was dead.
I will say this.
Killed her.
In at least two instances, one of them being Mr. Dwayne Johnson, the other being a Samoa Joe, crushed by forklifts to win a match.
I remember that.
And yet they returned. They returned the very next week.
They're having a forklift lowered down, slowly lowered on top of you to pin you to a mat, and full force getting slammed into a wall by the forklift.
Is there a difference, though? Is there?
No, not really.
That's all I'm saying. Really. Speaking of like probably dying, like I was like, oh my God, are they actually going to kill Kibbe by like having the knife in his back?
No, like, I never thought that for a second.
Dang, like Renegade's fucking going hard.
They are going hard. I mean, to be fair, so the Joes are pinned down after all their great improvisation. I guess the beer garden was more important. It's fine. And so then the Cobra truck slams through the wall of the Walmart, wrecking all of the synthoids and Major Blood. And then he says, get in, we're going to drive away. The coyote blogger does. And Major Blood throws a knife, but the coyote's wearing a backpack that is comfortably 2 feet thick. Mm-hmm. So no part of me, when the knife hits the backpack, thought he was in any danger at all.
Ridiculous.
I thought Major Blood was legitimately dead from the forklift collision. Never thought this guy was in any peril. But the knife, I don't know. To me, this is kind of bad, too, now that I think back on it. The knife does destroy the scanner, which is important for the plot. That's fine. They lose the evidence that they had. But Major Blood, does Major Blood really think he killed that guy? Or is he just like trying to be like, yo, I got him. Don't worry about him anymore. Because he's trying to like save face from the bad encounter. That's what I'm struggling with.
Same question. Yeah.
You're
a writer.
You never seen a dude take credit for something they didn't actually do? Is that what you're saying?
It just seems very unlike men.
Is he being an entitled white dude, or is he being an idiot white dude? It's so hard to tell the difference sometimes.
Impossible to tell.
Yeah. Sometimes, sometimes or even pretty much every episode of this show, I think we find that it is possible to combine both of them simultaneously.
It's true.
Guys, look, you guys have accused me a lot of failing upwards in this life.
No, we know what this is, and we are going to let you hang for as long as it takes for me to send this picture of Egon Spengler, who apparently showed up in this episode. And I don't understand what that's about.
Exactly like Egon Spengler.
Yeah. Pretty good. Even more so than the actual Egon Spengler in the real Ghostbusters, weirdly.
who had to be blonde for reasons.
Oh my God, it does look like he's wearing like a proton pack. Like when you when the picture is small, like it looks like, oh yeah. Wonder if they, I mean, maybe they did that on purpose. Maybe there was like a fan, one of the animators was like, nah, fuck it. I'm going to make this guy look how I want.
Honestly, fair,
this guy looks very British.
Given how much they hewed at how many references to Mad Max they dropped in, it 100% makes sense that they would take other like cultural touchstones and be like, you know what? We're just going to put it in here.
Yeah.
Put it in here. And people go, hey, is that? Did they mean to?
They're, I mean, that's part of the fun of like being an animator is you get to put something in and be like, let's see who notices this.
Yeah. And I look, and I'll call this out too, because the Coyote blogger, he left the bomb from the act one in the smarket and also turned it back on again somehow. This guy is not a bomb expert.
Look at the guy.
How did he turn it on again and not kill himself?
100% he knows how to build a bomb. He's probably done a couple, you know. Look, academia is rough, all right? That ivory tower, man, there's a lot of backstabbing, and occasionally someone needs to blow up so that you can get tenure. That's not a crime, is it?
He's a student, though.
To be fair, I can absolutely, I could see a world where they say, so, Coyote, what radicalized you? And he, like, takes a whiff pop puff of his cigarette, shakes his head and goes, I worked in retail. And I'll be honest, this all tracks.
Yeah. Wait, is Breaker a student or a teacher?
He's a student.
Okay.
Is he a student?
He said he was a teacher. He said he was a teacher, but he was lying. He's a student. He lives in the dorms.
Yeah, I thought he was a student.
Yeah. Dang. He's pretending to be a teacher the same way Scarlett's pretending to be snake bait.
I honestly completely missed that. I thought he was a teacher.
These are the young Joes. They're all youngins.
I see.
Yeah. Anyway, the bomb blows up right in Major Blood's face.
We'll make a dreams come true. Bop a daddy bop. Joey babies.
I would watch the shit out of that, just for the record.
Me too.
We are watching the shit out of that, for the record.
Oh yeah, hey. Major Blood has a bomb blow up right in his face, and he loses his eye. This is how he gets the eye patch.
Yes.
Before this, I like that kind of progression. It makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping we get to see more Major Blood as this comes along. I really liked this iteration of Major Blood a lot.
Yep. Agreed.
A lot. Yeah. So I'm here for it. And then, you know, so they, and also the Coyote blogger decides, I'm just going to go off the grid now. They think I'm dead, so I'm just going to disappear, start a new life somewhere else because my life right now kind of sucks. Plus, Cobra's going to be coming to kill me constantly. They know who I am and where I live. And then we get I thought this was ham-fisted, where they were just like, you need a code name. Hey, you break stuff. You're Breaker. Breaker, ladies and gentlemen.
That is 100% fine. I have zero problem with any of that.
I didn't because Breaker's not British. I mean,
oh my God. Oh my God. Okay. I looked it up. I looked on IMDb to see if
you read
Major
on the
Blood
internet?
Does show up. What?
You read it on the internet?
I read it on the internet. Cringe. Saw that Major Blood does indeed show up for one more episode. So, you know, not a lot, but he comes back.
Perfect.
Do you know who plays Dr. Archibald Monev / Dr. Venom? Oh, I get it. Venom. Monev is Venom backwards.
John Cena?
Michael frickin'
John
Emerson.
John Cena?
Michael frickin' Emerson. Gina, you might know him as
Lost,
Ben.
Ben Linus.
And Ray and I would know him from Person of Interest.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, actually, lovely. I knew
he's also in Fallout, isn't he?
He is in Fallout, and he is also in the first Saw movie, which when I rewatched recently, he was the accomplice. And I was like, of course you didn't trust that guy. He's Michael Emerson.
Yeah.
Very young Michael Emerson. Fantastic in that movie. Did not know who he was when I saw it the first time. The rewatch, he made that rewatch an absolute hoot.
Michael Emerson, so good.
He's so good.
Very talented.
Married to Carrie Preston. Also. Yes. Freaking wonderful.
Also great.
And here we are, Michael Emerson tags to G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe is the center of the cultural universe. I'll say it again.
Have you said that before?
Today. And I'll say it again.
This is the part where you say it again. Is it the thing?
G.I. Joe is the center of the cultural universe.
I see.
That explains a lot.
I think that's about the end of this episode, because I don't think anything else really happens.
That's all we got.
Yeah, Gina, any last words to inspire us?
Nah, fuck off.